the worst thing in any business is getting comfortable relying on only one customer or customer segment that you're not diversified from, so you're not protected from at all.
Welcome to the Destination Northern Ontario podcast. This is a series for tourism business operators here in the rugged and beautiful north. Whether you're just starting out or you've got years under your belt, this podcast will make sure you're well-equipped for the journey. I'm your host, Michelle Sampson. In this episode, we're continuing with the topic of marketing, but this time we're going deep into the weeds of digital marketing. Our guest is Mike Jacobs, the CEO of The New Business, a digital marketing agency that has been working in the tourism space for the last 15 years. They make websites, apps, ads, marketing strategies, and branding campaigns, basically everything that helps tourism businesses reach visitors online. If you've been resisting digital marketing because your business is doing just fine without it, or new technology feels a little overwhelming, or you've got a Facebook page and isn't that enough, Mike just might convince you to spend more time and money promoting yourself on the World Wide Web. And if you have invested in digital marketing already, Mike's got advice and fascinating crystal ball insights for you too. But let's start with the basics. I asked Mike to define what digital marketing is.
So marketing really is at its core about taking your product and choosing a market that you want to take it to. And for many of the people that we're talking to today, it's about taking a tourism product like an experience or an accommodation, an attraction, and taking it to the market of travelers of all kinds, tourists. And online marketing is really just the online part of that. So you can definitely still go and sell stuff in person through travel agents, through yourself, on the phone, by going to sports shows around the world, North America. But online is really all of the stuff that happens on the internet. And it includes, obviously, largely things like websites, social media, email marketing, and now AI and AI optimization. The social media stuff, the website stuff, a lot of that stuff includes building assets as well as using paid advertising. But there's also strategies that don't require you to use any money to make them happen. So leveraging the entirety of the internet to take your product to market.
Yeah, I want to dig into all of these things. We're going to save AI for a little bit later in the conversation. You mentioned, you know, all of these ways of doing things that aren't online marketing that maybe a lot of the operators who are listening have found some success with. They're still filling their rooms. They're still getting people through the door. What is your case for investing in online marketing when all of those things have maybe been working so far?
Yeah, this is probably the most important question and really more important for Northern Ontario than probably anywhere else that I've dealt with. What we see in most of the successful businesses in Northern Ontario, that anywhere between 70 and 80% of their customers are repeat customers. And a lot of the research around the tourism industry in the North supports this. What they found is just that once people come to Northern Ontario, they're very likely to come back year after year after year. And I mean, that other 20% is kind of always up for grabs. So when you have last minute cancellations, or as we're seeing now, you have people who are making summer-like travel plans into September and October every year, that's also a way to see if there are new markets to be grabbed and ways to expand your business to generate more profits. So that would be my sort of way to sell why you should keep marketing, is that other 20% is really always up for grabs. And you need to make an investment to make sure that future generations keep coming back. And the industry of marketing, especially in the tourism space, says you should invest about 20% of your net revenue back into the marketing of your organization. So if you're $1 million operation and your net is like 200 grand, spend 20 grand, spend 30 grand a year on marketing. And that is just keeping you aware of the trends and aware of how you have to change your business to adapt to make sure that the future generations are coming.
Yeah, I kind of want to dig a little bit more into this, you know, making sure future generations come back, but also the last minute cancellations. And obviously top of mind is everything that's been happening with the United States. You know, things can change so quickly. And the people who had been coming year after year after year, suddenly, if 20% of them stop coming, then that's a big hit to your revenue. So marketing is kind of an insurance policy in a way, right?
I would say that's exactly what I would say, actually. It's a way of making sure that you've got business continuity. And I mean, the worst thing in any business is getting comfortable relying on only one customer or customer segment that you're not diversified from, so you're not protected from at all. One of my favorite stories from over the sort of the height of COVID was from a place called Branches Seine River Lodge. I'm sure either of the owners there would be great guests on the podcast. But while they were seeing, you know, a massive reduction in visitors from the US, which I have to add, like so many of the visitors that literally were legally prevented from coming to Ontario over some of those years were mostly rolling forward their reservations. Mm. So, I mean, that is just a testament to the power of the product here in Northern Ontario. But I would say, if you look at what that lodge did, it's a really interesting case study for how marketing and the positioning aspect comes with it can really provide a lifeline when things change rapidly and dramatically. So what they did is, obviously, a lot of their American visitors canceled the trips, but they were quickly able to pivot to adding a craft brewery option to their property. Now, they're not fly-in, if memory serves correct, and apologies, guys, if you are, but I'm pretty sure their main lodge is not fly-in, it's drive-in. And so when they opened this craft brewery, they sort of added all of the things that go along with a craft brewery. There was meal options that went well with coming in and trying out a whole bunch of different new beers. And there were events and there was music. And so there was a reason for local communities to travel to this place, even though they're not going there for like a big remote fishing trip. They're not treating it like their bucket list vacation, like many Americans treat Northern Ontario vacations. To them, it's just like, okay, now this is a local option for something fun to do while we're all in lockdown. It's all on a big patio. We don't have to wear masks, et cetera, et cetera. And the power of taking things that are trendy at the moment, like craft breweries, and then using Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and YouTube, all of those things to get the message out to local communities that this is available and you should come. And now that they've largely resumed business operations, their standard business operations, now they have this additional element that supercharges their business. It's another level, another venue for profitability.
Yeah, so they kept it, eh?
Yeah, as far as I know, they're still brewing the stuff there, and it's another revenue source.
Right. Okay, so you just mentioned social media earlier. We talked about websites and, you know, all the different ways that you can do online marketing. If you're really just starting to take this advice and thinking, okay, I will invest in something, what is the first thing you need to have when you're getting into online marketing?
Yeah, if you have nothing, and there are some places in Northern Ontario, obviously, they're doing so well with the returning customers, there's not a lot of reason for them to develop stuff. If you're starting from total scratch, I would say trying to develop a brand for your property is a good small scale exercise for the off season. It's something you can turn internally. Definitely something you can hire high priced consultants to do, but I don't think it's necessarily needed. And at its core, what I would say branding really is about telling the story of your business through values. So what I mean is, your business has a reason for existing. It has a story about how it came to be. Either your grandparents bought it and they built it up and they attracted certain types of people and they always wanted to offer this hospitality experience. And you took it over because it was really important to continue the legacy, and you love the guests and you love the lifestyle. And you infuse the business with the things that are important to you, your values. And this is usually at the owner operator level. And so just really trying to clearly articulate what those values are through the lens of the story of the business, that will give you a brand. And a brand isn't just a logo, but a logo and like the fonts you choose, the colors you choose, a lot of that stuff very quickly helps people identify. These are signals to them about what it means. So if you've got a pine tree in your logo, it's green, it's got some orange, it's got a sunset. People very quickly understand like, okay, this is a nature-based place. If you've got a fish in the logo, if you've got a hook in the logo, people understand, okay, fishing is really important here. And so I would say, take it the next step further and say like, what is the interesting nuance about your place that really showcases how it is unique amongst several similar properties? There's all kinds of examples across Northern Ontario, places that do food better, places that have, you know, legendary fish fry recipes, places that have like incredible guides. There's all kinds of stuff. So refining that would be a first step. If you're already at that place, you're happy with your logo, you think you know who you are, you think people understand who you are, the next step is a website, because it really is the thing that you own, where you get to really stake your claim for who you are in the industry. I don't think you need to go as far as like creating a website where you're posting new blog content every week and you've got features and videos and audio stuff. It really can be pretty simple, and don't make it hard on yourself. The things that are kind of most important are very basic things like who, what, when, where, why. People want to see pictures. They do want to see video too, if you've got it, but they want to know where you are, brief description of your services, and how to get in touch with you. And that's it. And do it in the most polished and professional way that you can manage. So I'd almost say do less. Just do it as well as you can.
I've seen a lot of operators, instead of doing a website, do like a Facebook page, or, you know, if you're in accommodations, a listing on Airbnb or that type of thing. What are your thoughts on that kind of approach?
Yeah, I mean, these things really depend on the type of business that you're running. There's all kinds of reasons for these types of things. My main sort of aversion to saying like Facebook should be your number one marketing strategy is just that you're really at the whims of Facebook. And we've seen this kind of work to independent businesses, owners negatively as a result of depending on Facebook so much. So for a long time, we went through a period of like, let's build our followings, let's build our page, let's put daily updates and everything there. And then Facebook changes the algorithm and people aren't coming to your page anymore. I think the shift we're seeing in social media right now is everything is interest-based rather than like account or creator-based. Mm-hmm. There's really no way for a small business to break through unless you get insanely lucky and just happen to capture something like a bald eagle landing on the handle on an outboard motor or something like that. So it's really a total fluke when the algorithm kind of lets you get through. So you're putting a lot of eggs in the Facebook basket and you're giving them a lot of power. Website is kind of different. You know, Google still has a lot of power in determining whether or not somebody comes to your website just accidentally, but it is a place where people can like type in the name of your business, find your website, and then find your way of telling your story, basically.
How important is it to use Google to kind of claim your business and add your hours, and instead of just sort of letting Google do its thing?
Yeah, it's super important. It can make a huge, huge difference in the casual interest. That 80% base that's coming back year after year, they're not really using Google to find you, obviously. But that other 20%, you know, they're just looking around. A lot of people will start trip planning by using Google Maps. So if you claim your Google My Business listing, the other thing is you're just kind of leaving it open for bad actors to claim and use it to spam or direct people to competitors. It's Yeah, it's not ideal. It's definitely something you should claim as quickly as you can. That being said, I speak with operators all the time, and I know a big concern is like, well, what do I do if I get negative reviews? Mm-hmm. Overpower them with positive reviews. There's tons and tons of studies out there that people who see 5-star reviews and 1-star reviews basically ignore whatever those people have to say. And so you want to get, you know, you want to get your 4-star reviews as often as possible because they're far more trustworthy.
Yeah.
They represent balanced opinions, and that's what people are looking for. If you have a legitimate bad review, you need to do something about that in your business. But if it's just somebody with a bone to pick, respond calmly and rationally. Don't get into fights with people. It's all pretty common sense stuff.
Our sister podcast, Let's Talk Northern Ontario Tourism, has a great episode with Emily Bailey, which is kind of similar to this conversation. And I would recommend anybody listening to this episode should totally listen to that episode. She gives some advice around using AI to help you craft responses to those negative reviews. So, you know, instead of letting your emotions get you on the internet and on the keyboard a little bit too fast, you can use AI to help temper that response and be calm and thorough. So yeah, so sorry to plug someone else's episode while I'm talking to you, Mike.
I know Emily super well, and she is an expert. She is really, really great at this subject. So definitely listen to her.
And it'll be interesting to hear what you say about AI, which we will save again for another minute, and then what she has to say about AI. But okay, so just kind of stacking this up a bit. We've got our brand, we've got our website, we've claimed our business on Google. What comes next after that?
On your website, I would just add one more comment. Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel like they furiously have to keep the website up to date all the time. Try and update it seasonally.
Mm.
Like update it once every 3 months to match whatever season you're in. Your customers, you know, when they're planning stuff. So update your website right before they start planning their summer stuff or their spring stuff. And it really doesn't have to be much. A couple of changes of words, change the main image on the site, change the videos, post a welcoming message. That's it. On the next step, I would say, is the world of social media. And the trends that I'm really seeing right now is that most of social media is video. Posting static images and graphics and illustration, it still has a place. I'm not saying don't do it. It definitely resonates better on Facebook than any other platform. But by and large, taking the time to do some video is going to get you the best response. And what we're largely seeing is that things are interest-based. They're not, again, like creator-based. So nobody's really going to follow your business account anymore. Your best chance of being seen is just publishing new videos across all platforms, because they basically all want video formatted for quick little clips to be watched on your phone. So 30 seconds and under. Try to find something really interesting to shoot or talk about. I would say empower your staff, because they're often toe-to-toe with the reality of running your business every day. Give them some guidelines, but don't make them too prohibitive. I think you'll find that actually people are really interested in the day-to-day comings and goings of most tourism businesses. So yeah, don't take it too seriously at first. Don't treat it like it needs to be super polished. In fact, more casual, lo-fi stuff tends to get a lot more attention these days than polished corporate-looking stuff. Yeah, social video.
And that's such an interesting point, too, because we've talked about like investing in marketing. And, you know, there's the time investment, there's the money investment. I think we can already say that social media can be one of those things that you spend your time on. But where would you recommend sort of focusing money if you're going to invest in and put money into this?
Yeah, it's a good question. If you don't have a website, I would maybe put anywhere between like $2,000 and $5,000 to pay somebody to build a website for you. If you're good with tech, you know, there's lots of free website builders out there. I would still recommend putting some money into Google AdWords. Let's say your marketing budget for a year was $20,000, $5,000 into building a website, maybe another $5,000 into Google AdWords, which is basically just advertising in search. The reason why I say that, even though we're living in an era of AI snippets directing people to AI results, is that, you know, the product in Northern Ontario is still pretty niche. We're talking about a very specific group of people who are likely to come to Northern Ontario and want to do that kind of trip. And so AI right now is very good at the general stuff and taking traffic away there. But for the niche stuff, you still have a chance to capture new attention there. What you really want to be looking at there is your cost of acquisition, so your cost per click, and then just making sure that you're following through to see how do those people behave when they get to your website. Are they there for 2 seconds and then leaving, or are they staying there for 30 seconds and then moving, or clicking a call button or a book now button? The rest of the money I would probably put into social media. I'm a cautious supporter of the Meta ecosystem. I would say that demographically, a lot of the people coming to Northern Ontario are 50 plus, and that matches with Facebook. A lot of that demographic generally spends time on Facebook, either reading stuff, watching video content, etc. It's also, it owns Instagram and WhatsApp, and so it's really easy to do ads on Facebook that also show up on Instagram. So yeah, taking the time to build interesting ads that show up in those places, the simpler, the better. As I said before, do less. Don't try to put out 100 different ads. Put out 2 or 3 ads and just watch how they perform. I would also say that with any kind of advertising, the first 6 months to a year is really an investment in like market research, because you're going to see how people respond to different ways of being spoken to. What images do they like? What combination of words resonates with them? And once you have that information, you can kind of take it and build new, even more successful campaigns for yourself.
So you're saying you need to experiment in those early stages.
It is a bit of an experiment. I mean, you think you know what resonates with people about your business. You're going to find new information and new nuance through doing advertising. And a lot of people will go to a place of like, I'm not seeing bookings immediately. A booking is a high ticket item. Nobody buys a plane ticket because they see a billboard for Air France. You know, it takes more than that. So participating in all of the DMO marketings, I mean, there's tons of DMOs in Northern Ontario. There's also DNO. These give you other opportunities and avenues to be seen by a consumer before your ad hits. So where, you know, a Destination Ontario or a Destination Northern Ontario is reminding people like fishing exists, hunting exists, snowmobile touring exists. All of these products that are storied Northern Ontario tourism products, they're setting the stage with awareness and repetition. And businesses at the bottom of the marketing funnel are there to say like, okay, now that you are thinking about that, our business is the one you should choose because of X.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we're getting deep into this and I've teased AI a couple times already. So maybe we should get to that. Tell me about how AI is changing this marketing game. And, you know, is this something that's just for the advanced people who are doing online marketing, or is this something for the people who are newer to it as well?
I mean, it is for everyone. I definitely think you have to take that approach. I think anybody going into it today has to go into it with a beginner's mindset, that you are there to observe and learn. And in my estimation, the most important thing is to be extremely critical of what's happening. Because in a sense, you are handing over some control of a process that you would take much more seriously than perhaps your AI agent is. So be very critical as you're going through these things. But I would, you know, Barack Obama did an interview about AI, and after he'd done sort of a really long and protracted investigative period with all of like the head thinkers and the OpenAIs and the Sam Altmans of the world, and one of the technicians, and they had this very pithy observation, and I'll vomit into them. What would you equate this transformation in technology to? The tech said electricity.
Hmm.
And so I would draw the parallel that this isn't a fad. There's no escape.
Mm.
But it is how you are going to use it that's going to make all the difference. And how the world uses it has yet to be fully revealed. So you need to be in there with a beginner's mindset and just be like, part of what's going on is that I'm just going to learn how this technology works. Some of us might remember starting with computers in the office and getting a spreadsheet program and being able to like automatically calculate insane things that would have taken weeks before in minutes. And now we're at this other vast explosion in productivity. In terms of how it impacts marketing for individual businesses in Northern Ontario, I think it really is like an assistant for you.
Mm.
So if you're not, you know, a marketer at heart or a creative person at heart, but this stuff has to be done, when you get to the point where you've done the work of creating a website, you've done the work of posting videos to social, you can now ask this assistant to act as a creative marketing professional and critique the things that you've done. So read the copy on the website and tell me if this will attract the male 45 to 75 angling audience who are from the border states around Ontario. It can do that stuff really well and give you insights on what to focus on next. You can definitely also use it to write your copy for you, but it's like anything else in the world. When you're asking somebody else, including this, to do something for you, the clearer you are with your needs, the better job it will produce. As somebody who's got a staff of 20 people, the times where I have skimped on explaining a project, I pay for it. And the times that I've methodically laid everything out and explained every detail, the team requires less of me and they're able to do really great work. So yeah, start with a beginner's mindset. It's great for everything on the marketing side, writing copy. You can definitely generate images for it. My contention personally is that tourism is so much about place that showing an artificially generated image, unless it's like something really clever and it's about something other than the place, you know, it's showing that you understand your audience or connect with them on a different level. It's a meme or something like that. And it's not just like, here's a beautiful misty morning on Lake X. I think it can go kind of wrong. And I think it decreases people's trust in you.
Yeah. So just go out and take a beautiful photo of a misty morning on the lake.
You know?
Okay. And yeah, the Emily Bailey episode has more tactical ideas. So definitely recommend going over there. I'd like to dig into your experience a little bit before I let you go. And, you know, you've worked with so many clients and a big part of your process is analytics and reporting, which I always love. I think everyone likes to see examples and also some proof, which is what the analytics and reporting can do. I'm wondering if you have a relevant example, a client that did invest in online marketing, whether it was ads or website or social media or whatever it is, and came out with some like big wins from it and that it was worth the investment.
I'll give you one story right off the hop. This one is like one I'm intimately familiar with. And it really is about just one operator. We do a lot of, you know, larger sort of awareness campaigns, but we had an operator, Indigenous operator, just outside of Manitoulin Island, and he was just starting his business. So he had started two of these glamping domes. He had put them together under great duress over the fall and winter, set up everything absolutely perfectly. Him and his wife did a spectacular job making these really, really attractive places to stay. They were like nestled in the woods. He also does guiding out on the North Channel there. They were just starting their business. And so we started working with them and we built them a website and we were pretty exacting about building that website. And we built them a booking engine so that they could take bookings right away. And he is a younger guy, really great at social media. Like he has a drone, he's got one of the gimbals to do everything stabilized. He spends enough time on social that he knows the trends. He uses the editing software that everybody uses. And his first week with these two glamping domes, he made $20,000 right out of the gate. That is not something you hear about every day, but the investment of an insane amount of effort of making the product really great, making the marketing really great. We spent so many hours putting all that stuff together, and then making the social really great, all came together in a business that was just launched being instantly fully booked.
Wow.
Yeah.
And starting a business is so, I mean, you're starting from scratch. You don't have that 80% coming back. You haven't built that yet.
Yeah. So taking the time to do each of those things definitely pays off. But it is, he's a young guy. It's a monumental amount of work to make that effort. It was also a business that was just starting up, so he had a little bit of leeway. He could put the rest of his life on hold while all of these things happened. If you're 30, 40 years into a very successful business, to put everything down and say, okay, focus for the next month on a website, a booking engine, great social presence, and some ads, and that's going to bring me, you know, another 20, 40, you know, $60,000 a year. It's a harder sell. I understand. We all get into our patterns, but I can say if you do the full court press, I've definitely seen the results myself. It works.
Amazing. Okay, let's zoom out again. Just briefly, I'd like to get your view into the crystal ball. You know, with everything you know about marketing, everything you've seen, how have things changed recently? And then, like, where do you think things are going to go in the near future?
Yeah, well, search engine optimization is really on its way out. It's a very challenging environment. AI optimization and getting recommended by AI chatbots or chat agents, that's going to become a whole new field, and everybody trying to game that so that their business gets recommended. There's all kinds of ideas floating around out there. Honestly, by the time most of the operators listening to this put any of them into practice, like, they'll be out of date. So in terms of what is going to happen, we haven't really even scratched the surface of what's possible with AI. I would say that operationally, a lot of operators are going to start to see package solutions from businesses that address parts of their business, like accounting, bookkeeping, inventory management, things that are essentially kind of low risk that need a little bit of human supervision anyways. Those things will start to become things that you can buy for $20 a month that saves you $200 a month in bookkeeping costs, et cetera, et cetera. Those things will just get smarter and better and better. And that will probably happen on a 1 to 2 year horizon. You'll start to see products that are just like off the shelf, plug and play. In terms of like what a lot of people talk about, where you've got like a whole staff of AI agents working for you and taking care of individual parts of your business. I mean, this vision is great. Especially in the tourism industry, we often struggle to attract and maintain people working at a lot of our operators. This will fill a lot of gaps for us. So I'm hoping that it just makes it easier to run tourism businesses. In terms of where it's going for digital marketing, I have to say the prognosis is not great at this moment. I think we're about to go through a period maybe of like 2 to 3 years where we're inundated with AI generated content, and a lot of that will be garbage.
AI slop, as they call it.
AI slop. Yeah. The parallel I would draw is that in the way that we're seeing a lot of income inequality in the world right now, people who can't afford access to higher end experiences, that's the internet they will experience. And then we'll have more boutique targeted services that still access through the internet, but they will be for people who can kind of afford it. And a lot of it will be pay to play. So it's almost like all of the good stuff we've been watching for free will now be paid to see, much like television, cable, streaming, all that kind of stuff. So that would be the big split on the content side. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how travel planning changes as a result, and how we insert tourism into that space. I guess the crystal ball is kind of revealing to me right now what the main challenge is right now in using AI in an optimal way for trip planning is that all of the big tech companies are fighting to see who can dominate AI.
Mm.
So Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Twitter, all have their own AI agents, OpenAI. They're all trying to control how we use AI so that when the moment comes for them to be able to profit off of it, it's under their control, mm. much like search or social or office products. And really where we're at is, as consumers, I mean, it's not the best outcome for us. This kind of stuff stifles innovation. It's going to slow down the progress of what we're able to do. And it's going to mean that we continue with technology, these walled garden approaches. So if one company like Apple does phones better, but another company does email better, like Google, they don't really work perfectly together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the companies will have no incentive to say like, okay, we're going to allow your agent to like have a Google calendar, but on an iPhone that can manually. There may be some cases where they let things slip through the cracks, but I mean, it's essentially the blue bubble, green bubble problem all over again.
Mm-hmm.
They're all fighting for control. And really, it's just going to be about us consumers piecing together different aspects of each system to try and get it to do what we want it to do. Yeah. Unfortunately, not the greatest take on AI, but as somebody who's been in tech since he was like 10 years old, I don't see the pattern being very different than anything else in the past.
Yeah. And as much as we basically have to engage with digital media, you know, that we can't completely disconnect, but it makes it even more important to deliver that experience when people do come to see you and to give them that offline experience once you've convinced them to hit that book button or walk through your door for your restaurant or all of that and about real human connection, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of months ago, there was a motel for sale somewhere in Ontario, and I said, wouldn't it be interesting if we like bought this motel and then made it just fully automated, like no people there whatsoever, use your phone to open the door. There's meals in a vending machine you can buy and heat up in a microwave, you know, make robots do all of the cleaning somehow, which I'm sure would be fun to watch. And the reaction from the industry was like, what are you talking about? This is a terrible idea. People come for the people.
Mm.
They come for the experience that people make. And yeah, they're right. It really is. That's where the buck stops in tourism. So we can social media and websites all we want, but at the end of the day, they got to have a good time.
It's a good place to leave it off. I know you got to run, Mike. So thank you so much. This was really interesting. And thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, appreciate it. Great to meet you too.
That was Mike Jacobs, the CEO of the new business and co-founder of the tourism technology company. If you're a tourism business operator looking for more resources on product development, human resources, marketing, or partnerships, visit destinationnorthernontario.ca or any of the links in the show notes. New episodes of this podcast are coming soon. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform to be notified when it drops. Destination Northern Ontario is produced by Storied Places Media and hosted by me, Michelle Sampson. Thanks for listening.